Welcome to Rangers Blue Line, covering the blue shirts from the SNY studios. Here's your host, Brian Compton.
Hello, welcome to Rangers Blue Line. Brian Compton here with you in Midtown Manhattan. I'll be joined by Mike Halford from Pro Hockey Talk in just a few minutes. Joining me now in the studio are my friends Nick Locazzi and Adam Rotter. Fellas, how are you?
Doing well, Brian.
Hanging in there.
Feeling good about the July 1st bonanza?
As far as who they brought in, I don't hate it. I was more interested to see who they were sending out, but not much happened.
It's a very weird summer when the Islanders are shelling out megabucks and the Rangers are signing
fringe
players.
Shopping in the bargain bin.
Big news regarding the SNY.TV Hockey Podcast channel, folks. The Islanders and Rangers podcasts are now officially in two separate feeds. So if you want to access only the Rangers shows, please search SNY.TV Rangers in iTunes and subscribe to the Rangers podcast channel. If you want to access the rest of SNY.TV's original shows on the Rangers, Islanders, Mets, Jets, Knicks, and college basketball and recruiting, subscribe to the SNY.TV audio network, which you can find on iTunes or wherever you listen to your podcasts. What's going on in Rangertown, boys? Michael Grabner and Nathan Gerby, the two big fish the Rangers reel in on July the 1st.
Don't rule out Adam Clendenning.
Is he a big fish?
You're just throwing him away like he's nothing. And Michael,
I think Grabner's the great white in this group, don't you?
Yeah. Grabner was the one guy they were really targeting, and he was the guy that they had to get because he fills the role that Carl Hagelin left a year ago, 90% of it.
I don't even know if it's 90, man. I'll give you the speed.
As we've said before, but, you know, I didn't have a problem with what they did. There was no one out there who was going to make them immediately better besides that guy who re-signed in Tampa Bay, so...
I really like the Grabner addition. I think it elevates the bottom six. It gives them a look that they didn't have. It's a great value for what he brings. As long as he stays healthy, I think that's going to turn into a steal of a contract. Look, I'm not saying he's going to score 20 goals, but he's going to make the bottom six much harder to play against. I would much prefer him to be in the fourth line role with the way we've seen him play the last 2 years. I think as it's constituted right now, he's going to be forced into a third line role, which I don't hate. But I would still like to see them create some maneuverability to give the team some depth because they're one injury away from being where you don't want to be, being in purgatory. You know, one of these top six forwards on the Rangers gets hurt and they're in trouble.
Well, that's pretty much every team though, right? I mean, but who's he replacing here, Adam? Who are you looking at?
Who's Grabner replacing?
Yeah.
Probably, I don't know, someone like Dominic Moore, who's not that good anymore. I think that Grabner was fine. I think that the guys he's replacing, Victor Stahlberg or Moore, he fits better.
Is Tanner Glass still going to play for the NHL team?
I don't think so, but I think he's... I kind of thought they might buy him out, but they save less money if they just shelve him in the minors. And I think they'll probably do what they did last year. They'll put him in the minors at the start of the season. And then if depth becomes an issue, they might bring him back up.
Nathan Gerby signs with the Rangers as well. Doesn't bring a whole lot of size, obviously. He's not the biggest guy in the world, but he is fast. I think this is good in the sense that the Rangers are getting a little bit faster up front because the defense, as we've talked about multiple shows, is not going to be very quick without Keith Yandle.
Now, Gerby's, again, he's a good fourth-line addition, the 13th forward, plug-and-play. The Rangers didn't get any names. They don't have the space. I think we all expected either Nash or Stahl or Stepan or something, a name that's been here for a while to be gotten.
Guys
they look like they're stuck in New York City traffic. They're so gridlocked right now.
Wow,
you know? I mean, come on. How many times? We were talking about 2-3 moves to open up the space for Stamkos. Obviously, he re-signed, but they got nothing done. They just replaced some fringe players. No, that's what I mean. It's not that... that Gorton didn't try, but he didn't accomplish. If you looked at the top five goals for his offseason, Michael Grabner wasn't one of the top five. He might have been six or seven. And again, I still think it's a great move. But to not move out one of these contracts as of now, it's tough to stare at the same team. And I think it's a tough sell to go back with this same roster.
Yeah, Grabner's, I mean, he's obviously one of the fastest skaters in the league. He's going to bring the fans out of their seats at MSG two or three times a game.
And then it's right back down.
It's just when he gets to about 3 feet from the net, he's going to drive people crazy. Again, I got to go back to Glass, guys, because if he's on the NHL roster, I think they're just going to be in a whole boatload of trouble.
I agree. And I ultimately don't think he will be on the roster, but I would again think that they tried to trade him. But that salary cap-wise, unless you're going to move him out, taking half his salary or then buying him out, you still save you have the least amount of cap hit by sending him down to the minors. So maybe that's why they didn't try and trade him for a sixth-round pick and retain half his salary.
Adam Clendenning, quadruple A player, is that fair enough to say? I just don't know how much of a contributor he's going to be to the Rangers.
I think both the defensive signings I like in the form of their stuff that they don't have in the pipeline. And if they get hot, maybe it takes Hartford for them to click. You know, you never know. That's just throwing stuff at the wall and hoping that anything sticks. And that's really all the Rangers could do with that, with what's left cap-wise. They have to hope that they get some big steps up from their young players. And look, I'm not saying that it's all doom and gloom. I have a lot of faith in Buchnevich. I really like Kreider. I like Miller. I think that we saw Kevin Hayes play his best when he was with Carl Hagelin. As far as the speed, I don't think Grabner brings the forecheck. I think offensively, Grabner's on par with Carl Hagelin. I think where you lose from Hagelin to Grabner is defense, forecheck, and the physicality.
Grabner can help the PK if he gets a chance.
Yeah, but he's going to have to.
Well, that's one of the main reasons they brought him in. He averaged over 3 minutes a game in Toronto last year on the PK. He's their PK guy now.
But I think he has even more offensive potential than Carl Hagelin. Like, Hagelin's never going to score the 30 that Grabner did, and I never expect Grabner to get there again.
I wouldn't expect that.
I'm not saying that, but Hagelin's never going to get there. So you know it's there if Grabner did it once or twice. I think offensively he's a bit of a step up, at least on par, and I think you hope that he can bring out some of Kevin Hayes.
Guys like Clendenning and Nick Holden, who we really didn't even talk about last week, Adam, are these guys brought in to kind of give McElrath some competition to assure him that nothing's going to be given come training camp?
I think that it's depth. I think that there's a little bit of that. And, you know, frankly, like, look, I'm not going to come out in here and say Clendenning is going to be great. But, like, this was a highly touted player who's high draft pick in Chicago. He's been shuffled around a lot. Like, maybe this is a guy who, playing a full season somewhere, could become good. Maybe he just becomes John Moore. John Moore isn't the worst defenseman in the world.
No, he's not.
And he brings those kinds of skills. He moves the puck well. He skates well. He's got power play potential. And Holden I like. He's big. He kind of has a little bit of Kevin Kline in his game. He's physical. He blocks shots. He's nothing sexy, but, like, it's just depth.
It's worth a fourth-round pick. I thought that was an okay trade.
I thought when they brought him in that it was a signal that Staal is essentially on the way out, and you're going to turn the second pair over to Brady Shea, which to me is the right way to do it. But I don't know. They brought in a lot of competition. Are they guaranteeing spots to a guy like Girardi this year? Is it him fighting for, or are they fighting for
McElrath? If Dan Girardi is on the roster, he's playing.
Are they fighting for McElrath's spot then? Because to me, I'd rather see.
I think McElrath's
the guy. If
we're
going in with the same roster, I think you have to see McElrath over.
I like McElrath. I'm not sure AV likes him as much as I do. I think that's the problem.
What I would say, and I don't think that this is going to happen, but I think that there's a slight chance with all the guys they've brought in, which may just be for depth purposes. I wouldn't be totally shocked if they traded Kevin Kline. I think that he is someone who
has some value. Right,
has value. He's got a low cap hit.
Right.
You know, he is a right-handed shot, which, you know, I mean, maybe the Rangers could get Jordan Eberle. You know, maybe, you know, I don't know. But, like, he's a guy who I feel like, in a week or two, on like a Thursday afternoon, we'll get an email from the Rangers that they traded Kevin Kline for someone, and one of these other guys is going to step in.
Before I get to Mike Halford, four Rangers have filed for salary arbitration: Kreider, Miller, Hayes, and McElrath. Three of those guys, the first three that I mentioned, are probably going to get decent money here, Adam. Rangers haven't gotten past the hearing since, what, 2009 with Nick Zhurdev. It's been a long time. Can the Rangers get all four signed before our hearing?
I think so. I think that whenever we hear about arbitration, and I think that I've certainly been like part of it, like you automatically think that the guy's going to get way more than he'll actually get before he signs. Like, I thought McElrath would probably get around $1.1 million for 2 years or so. I think he's probably around like $850,000 now, $900,000, because he's got really no leverage.
Right, zero.
And I don't know what leverage Kevin Hayes really has. He'll probably be somewhere around where Chris Kreider is right now. And Miller, I think, deserves a bump. I wouldn't be surprised if I don't think they're going to go to arbitration with any of them. I think the question is whether or not Chris Kreider, when his arbitration day comes, will still be part of the Rangers.
I think McElrath and Hayes will be wrapped up quick, and then the decision comes, how long-term do you go with Miller and Kreider? They're at the point where you have to take a chance, because if you keep giving these guys bridge deals – and they do hit and somebody scores 30 goals, then you're not going to be able to pay him. Then they're a $6, $7 million guy, and the Rangers don't have that in the budget.
I think as far as another level goes, I think JT Miller probably has another level. I don't think Chris Kreider does, fellas. And I don't think you can give him $5 million.
I think I would just take that chance if you could get him for five.
I think that if you have to make a choice between one or the other, I would go with Miller. Just because I'm with you, Brian. Like, I want to believe in Chris Kreider. And
I do, too.
And I do, but I'm just not sure I want
to
commit.
But how long can we wait?
Right, and he's 2 years away from UFA. Yep. So if Chris Kreider were UFA today, he'd get over $5 million in this crazy market. So,
man,
but that's just how
so,
it is.
I know, you're right. It's just so scary.
So it's a matter of, like, do you want to commit to buying out his first 3 years of unrestricted free agency at $5.1 million when he might not be better than Troy Brouwer, who just got $4 million at 30 years old?
I think I take that chance. The pipeline's too bare. There's not a single young forward after Buchnevich that you say, oh, he's got potential to be a top six forward. Not one.
Not their pipeline.
And that's why, to me, Kreider and Miller, you got to lock them up. If you could get them for around $9-$9.5 million and make sure the next 4 or 5 years, it's not like that's going to be an untradeable contract. People will take chance on that potential, and then you'll get value. There's nobody coming. If you lose one of those guys and play hardball, it's a sinking ship.
But conceivably, you would trade Kreider to get more forwards. You would get a young forward in return.
You would have
maybe
to.
Two. So it's not like they're gonna. It's not like he's leaving. I know what you're saying, Nick.
Well,
and
if
I
you
agree
bridge
you.
Deal him, then
well,
his trade value.
You can't bridge deal him. He either gets a 1 year deal and he bets on himself going into next year with unrestricted free agency a year away, or you have to give him a long term deal because you can't afford to just send him on his way to unrestricted free agency.
So if it doesn't go to a hearing, 5 years, $25 million?
I would think he'll
something
get
in that neighborhood, right?
He'll probably get what Derek Brassard got.
I would sign that right now.
Joining me now on Rangers Blue Line is my good friend Mike Halford. Mike, BC here in New York, how are you?
Good, how you doing?
Doing all right. Rangers have been very quiet. Obviously, a lot has to do with the limited cap space they have. Just what do you think is going on in New York right now?
I mean, look, it's painfully obvious that this team needed to get faster based on what happened last season, how they flamed out of the playoffs. And you mentioned the cap space. It's very difficult to get fast in a very quality way with limited cap space. So you kind of have to do it the way that they do it, moves like Nathan Gerby and Michael Grabner and guys of the like. And, you know, these are kind of one-dimensional guys. They're almost like it's like a big flashing sign saying speed, but that's all we got here. Because, I mean, Gerby's a quick player, but you kind of know what his ceiling is in the NHL. He's a really diminutive guy, and he's struggled with injuries over the last couple of years, but he will provide some offense and a spark. Grabner's one of the fastest skaters in the NHL, but the knock always has been his lack of finish and his lack of hockey IQ. So, again, you get the speed factor, but it's almost like a thing along the lines of Emerson Edom, who the Rangers have some history with, where it's like he's got great tools, he's got great speed, but does it translate to an effective NHL game? And for Grabner, it's kind of been 50-50. He's been an established NHLer, but he's never really lived up to the hype and the potential. And I expect kind of more of that in New York next year. You'll see flashes of the speed that everyone gets enamored with, but then you'll have long stretches where he's inconsistent and his defensive, you know, responsibility isn't great. And at the end of the day, it's kind of a meh signing.
Going back to before the draft, Mike, there's a lot of talk that Derek Stepan and Rick Nash could be traded. Obviously, that didn't happen. Do you still sense that could happen before training camp?
I mean, it really seems like the market's locked up right now. I mean, Nash's contract is so difficult to move because, you know, at this point, you're pretty much buying low on the guy. I don't think there's a lot of teams across the NHL that are especially enamored with a guy who has had the sort of lack of playoff success repeatedly and repeatedly that Nash has had. And now you look at him, he's on the wrong side of 30. It's a bit of a bloated contract. He'll still give you really good production during the regular season, make no question about it. But you would assume that, you know, any team that's contending is going to have question marks because of the playoff production. And any team that maybe isn't contending and is going to take Nash as a sort of, you know, just to get him off the books of the Rangers, at that point, one, what are you getting in return? And two, how much salary are you going to have to retain? So the Stepan thing's more interesting to me in that this one, to me, doesn't make a ton of sense because the Rangers don't have that elite, bona fide, number one, top flight center. I think people want Stepan to be that guy, but he's not necessarily that. But I do think that they've got a really nice combo with him and Brassard as the top two centers, in that they can remain competitive in the East that is getting better and better down the middle. So you know, I understand the needs. I understand that the Rangers want to get someone in on the blue line. They want to beef up that section of the game. They probably want to get faster. They want to get a better transitional game going. But I'm not sure that Nash is going to get it done. And then when you give up Stepan, you give up an awful lot, and you almost leave yourself a hole there. So, yeah, I'm not really surprised that those deals didn't get done. I don't really expect them to either.
Yeah, I'd be surprised too. About the defense, Mike, you know, I'm sure they'd love to get rid of Dan Girardi's contract. I don't think that's ever going to happen. But do you see a taker for Mark Stahl if Jeff Gorton can find the deal?
You know, the market for defensemen right now is astronomical. I mean, I think we saw that with the Adam Larson for Taylor Hall trade. Now, I'm not trying to say that Larson and Stahl are comparable because there's a big age difference and, you know, they bring different things to the table, but I think that's what the logjam is right now, is the asking prices for guys like Cam Fowler and Kevin Shattenkirk are really, really high right now. And then if you go even further down the road and maybe you look at a team like Minnesota, would they move Jonas Brodin or Matthew Dumba? They want top dollar for they want top price for these guys. And, you know, I don't know what Stahl would command because, he's a little bit longer in the tooth. There's some injury history there, and he's got a big contract. But at the same time, you're getting a top forward defenseman plug and play. Like, he steps right into your lineup, and he gives you so many different things. Now, the question will be is, after, you know, the inevitable seems that Fowler and Shattenkirk will get moved. So it kind of becomes the second tier guys. And do teams look at Stahl and say, you know what, this is a fit for our group? Again, I think it would have to be a contending team.
Yeah.
It would need to be a team that's got a glaring hole in its top four that thinks it can make a push. And maybe some of those teams flesh themselves out after those initial trades get done. But again, the Rangers seem like they're stuck with a lot of these guys at the end of the day. It seems like the contracts that they've got are kind of coming back to bite them a little bit, and there's just not a ton of flexibility. If it was a little bit more of a fluid trade market right now, I could see it. I just think at the end of the day that the Rangers you see right now might end up being the Rangers that you go into training camp with.
And four Rangers filed for arbitration: Chris Kreider, Dylan McIlrath, Kevin Hayes, and JT Miller. I think they have roughly $12 million in cap space, Mike. You think they have room to sign all four of these guys?
Yeah, you know, that's the thing with these club-controlled contracts is, you know, a guy like Kreider, he's already, you know, filed for arbitration once in his career, and they managed to avoid it. But at the end of the day, guys that are RFAs kind of come to the realization that they don't have a ton of negotiating power here. They could try and go and sign the offer sheet, but to be perfectly honest, the guys that are eligible to sign offer sheets, oftentimes the GMs are like, you know what, go ahead and do it, because then you do the negotiating for me. Like, all I got to do is match this thing, and you're right back here. So, I mean, you know, it'll be a squeeze. I think they'll probably, like a guy like McIlrath will probably have to, you know, maybe he doesn't get a raise, maybe he gets a minuscule raise, but at the same time, he's still working to make himself a full-time NHL defenseman. Kreider, to me, is the really interesting one.
Yeah, me too.
I think they were anticipating last year, having not brought in a lot of guys in free agency, that there was going to be that internal growth with the team, and I thought Miller made a jump, and I don't think Kreider's taken that next step yet. So to me, it's going to be really difficult for him to, you know, go to the table and ask for a gigantic because they 21 goals in back-to-back years. He didn't necessarily plateau, but there wasn't that next step that I think a lot of people were taking. So I do think he'll be able to get all these guys. And like I just mentioned in the earlier question, I do think that this team, as you're seeing it right now, is going to be very similar to the one that goes into the start of the regular season in October.
Yeah, I mean, you hit the nail on the head with Kreider, Mike. I mean, if he wants $5 million to go past his UFA years, I mean, I'm really torn on whether or not to give him that kind of money, right?
I keep waiting for this kid to put it all together.
Right.
Because the way that he burst onto the scene in the playoffs that year, and then, you know, he looks like a guy with his skating ability and his strength and the raw physical tools, a guy that should be, you know, a 30 to 35 goal scorer, should be a devastating net front presence on the power play, should be like the prototypical power forward. But sometimes it takes these guys a little bit longer. Now, the problem here is that Kreider's 25. I mean, he's not a kid anymore, right? This is where you're looking at a guy and you're like, do we make the investment in the hopes that he becomes something we think he's going to be? Or are we looking at what Chris Kreider is right now? And that's a guy that's going to get you maybe the 20 goals, maybe he gets to 25, maybe doesn't have the greatest hockey IQ on earth, and that holds him back a little bit. And if that's the case, you want to be very careful with your investment, because the last thing you want to do is sink a bunch of money into a guy that's never going to meet the expectations of his contract.
Yeah, I just don't know if there's another level with Kreider. Mike, before I let you go, you seem to think that what you see is what you get with these Rangers. If that's the case, is there serious concern that this is not going to be a playoff team?
I think it'll be a fringe playoff team, honestly. We saw the window a couple years ago. I think 2014 was the peak for this team. And that's when you got to remember, like, I'm sure you're familiar with that. They basically had a third line of Zuccarello, Pouliot, and Brassard. I mean, hindsight being 2020, That's a hell of a third line.
Oh, yeah.
And now you look at it, and it's been whittled away over time. You know, guys leave. Richards leaves. St. Louis leaves. You know, the cap starts to pinch this team in. And now you're looking at it, and it's like, how do we come up with these inexpensive fixes along the way? If Gorton can do some maneuvering, he deserves a ton of credit because he inherited a tough salary cap situation in, again, a landscape where there just seems like there's a real gridlock with trades. But, you know, maybe Grabner and Gerby do give them a little bit more speed and can bring them up to the pace where they need to be. Maybe the blue line is able to get through it. But, I mean, I look at it last year, and for all the flaws that Yandle had defensively, still a very valuable guy.
Oh, yeah.
He leaves, and there's not a ton in return. It's going to be a real uphill battle for this team. I wouldn't be surprised if they're in that 6-7-8 position battling for a playoff spot next year.
Totally agree. Mike, thanks so much for a few minutes. I really appreciate it. Have a great summer, man.
Thanks, you too.
Thanks again to Mike Halford. You can follow him on Twitter at HalfordPHT. Nick, are the Rangers a fringe playoff team? Mike and I seem to agree that they are.
As currently constituted, yes. I think that they... Look, again, I don't know if it's Stahl or Girardi for a forward or even a defenseman on a similar contract. I just think you can go in. I think Larry Brooks put it best. They're stale.
Yeah.
They're stale. They're past their expiration date as a whole, the unit is, and you just got to shake it up a little bit. So I don't know where you look. Maybe there's some overpaid forwards who are on similar 4 or 5 year deals that you deal either Stahl or Girardi for, and you turn the defense over to Brady Shea and Dylan McArath and McDonough and Klein. It's not like the defense is in shambles. There are pieces,
but they're slow
on the defense. Well, McDonough and Shea will fly, and there's no problem there. Klein can move. McArath, I'll give you, is a little bit slow.
If Stahl and Girardi are still in the mix, it's a slow defensive core. It just is.
No, I agree with that. But the what I'm saying is, if you move one of them out, it's not like it's an overly slow defense. If Holden comes in and you're looking at McDonough, Shea, Klein, McArath, Holden, and one of Stahl or Girardi, it's not terrible. It's both of them where I think you have the problem. So if you could move one out for a guy who can cement himself as on the third line for the Rangers, let's say, and can help Hayes reach to the next level, that's a chance I take. Maybe he helps Buchnevich too. You know, I don't know who that guy is, you know, but if they could find a $5 million player who's overpaid for a couple of years, again, similar contract to Stahl or Girardi, that's a move I would look into.
Adam, is currently constructed, do you have serious concern that the Rangers won't make the playoffs next season?
I believe the Rangers will make the playoffs. And, well, here's the thing about them being a fringe playoff team. 1-2 in the Metro is already set. Caps, Pens, they're the first, so you're already down to two spots.
Montreal? Carry with a healthy Carey Price?
Is Carey Price going to be healthy?
Well, if he is, it's a totally different hockey team.
It is, but I would think that the Rangers are still right there in their division with the Islanders, with the Flyers. And look, for all the Devils did, I don't think they're a playoff team yet. I don't think there's enough depth
there. But I agree.
They're definitely closer. They'll definitely be hanging around, but I don't think that they have enough. Are they going to play Corey Schneider 85 games again?
They might have to.
At which point, it probably isn't even worth it for them to make the playoffs. So I think that they're going to be there because for the same reason that I always say, they have the goalie.
Yeah.
If the goalie's healthy, the Rangers are still good enough to make the playoffs. How far they can go, that's not up to me to decide.
Islanders lose Franz Nielsen, Kyle Okposo, and Matt Martin. They bring in Andrew Ladd, Jason Chimera, and P.A. Parenteau. The Islanders a playoff team, Nick?
They're in a similar boat as the Rangers. I don't think they inched forward, but I mean, to lose Nielsen, Martin, and that was a team where chemistry and camaraderie was high. Look, I love the money for Ladd. I hate the length. I think for the next 2-3 years, he'll give you what you lost in Kyle Okposo. He might be a slip down from Kyle Okposo as far as
200-foot game, Andrew Ladd is a better player than Kyle Okposo. He is.
We'll see what he's got left in the tank. He's up there.
He's 30 years old.
He's How old 7 are you? Years. I'm 26, but what did Ladd do last year? Okposo had better numbers.
Andrew Ladd is going to play with John Tavares.
I love Andrew Ladd. I hate Andrew Ladd for 7 years. I think by year three
it's
of
all
that
about
contract,
years 1 and 2, because it's got to be about making sure you
Well, if that's
John
the
Tavares.
Case, then how do you let Franz Nielsen walk?
I think they did everything they could to bring Franz back. He just wanted to play somewhere else. It happens.
That's what it seemed like. In all of his interviews, he was like, I just kind of wanted a new challenge. So it's like, okay.
It's the only organization he's ever known since 2002. Sometimes people just want, you know, a change in their life.
Well,
it's normal.
I mean,
they're
again,
human beings.
I like Chimera as well. I think that's a very good signing for them. Parenteau doesn't really move the needle for me, but they're relying on a lot of these young kids to take a step forward.
Absolutely. You can check out the Islanders Point Blank podcast with myself and Mike Carver. We spoke with P.A. Parenteau in this week's show. Subscribe to the SNY.TV audio network to download the podcast, as well as this show and the rest of our original podcasts. Eric Staal signs with Minnesota, boys. Pat Leonard was on our show a few weeks ago, so there was no chance he was coming back to the Rangers. Worthwhile risk, I guess, at the end of the day, but obviously things did not pan out for Eric Staal here in New York.
Yeah, and you know, it's a move that at the time I thought was a really good move, and in hindsight, it was a terrible move. But you know what? And I would have been open to Eric Staal signing a one-year deal or two-year deal if they had moved Derek Stepan.
Right.
Because I think that he still has something left. But now you read the stuff. The same stuff being written in Minnesota was the stuff that was written on March 1st when Eric Staal got here. Oh, he's going to be reinvigorated. Right. He wants to play in the top six. And I have no reason not to root for Eric Staal. He seems like a good guy. I'd like him to do well, but I don't. For the money he's getting in Minnesota and 3 years, it's a very good risk for them.
Was part of it that Avey just didn't maximize what Eric Staal could bring to the table?
I think it was partially that, but I feel like Eric Staal had to know coming in. We all agreed when they got Eric Staal, he was a third liner.
Yeah.
Now, whether or not he should have been moved into the top six at a certain point is something else, but like he had to know his role coming in was as a depth support player.
I would think so.
So if he ends up being upset about that, then that's a total miscommunication somewhere.
At some point you have to produce with the time you're given or you're not going to get more time. He showed no reason for Alain Vigneault to give him more time. Now, that's not, I'm not going to say that, yeah, I wouldn't have tried him more with Rick Nash or something different because it just went stale, but I don't like to see Staal complaining. I think he's a good guy. I think it's a good risk for Minnesota to take. They didn't overpay on a day where a lot of players were overpaid. But at the end of the day, he's just another forgetful big name in a franchise that's had a hell of a lot of forgetful big names.
Victor Stahlberg, 1 year with Carolina for 1.5.
That's a good deal for him.
I thought so too.
And it's about the maximum that I thought the Rangers should have given him. Like,
I think that's if he
was going to come back, I was thinking 1 year, 1.5. And it seems like the Rangers were like, sure, come back, 1.1 again. How's that for you?
Yeah, I like to grab the wrist better than him. I just think he's got way more upside.
Before we go, Jeff Bukaboom will be the assistant coach replacing Ulf Samuelsson. My only question with this, fellas, is what took so long? It's been a while since Samuelsson left to go to Charlotte, right? So why did it take so long for the Rangers to announce this?
You'd think that he wasn't their first choice. You'd have
Very
to,
bizarre. It seemed like they were grooming him for this.
It did seem like that. He was being groomed, but it seemed like they went after Shaw, who ended up going to Torts in Columbus. And I think there was one other guy, but you know who we don't know about assistant coaches. So like, yeah, for all we like, sure, give it to Jeff Bukaboom. He's worked with arguably two of the most important players the Rangers have moving forward in Brady Shea and Dylan McElrath.
For sure,
and he's done a good job helping to develop them. So that's enough of a reason to let him go give him that spot.
If he could turn Shea or McElrath and keep their progress coming and make them top four NHL defensemen, then it is a total boom to hire Jeff Bukaboom.
I'm happy to see Jeff here in New York. I think he deserves this opportunity. Gents, great show. See you next week.
Yep.
Thanks again to Mike Halford. Thanks for listening to Rangers Blue Line. We'll see you next week.
This has been the Rangers Blue Line Podcast, part of the SNY.TV audio network.